studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Friday session of Abounding Grace. And this week, we are going to talk. Wes Bradenhoff, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church is again with us. And we're going to talk about Christmas, its true meaning, what we should be celebrating, and what has happened in our day. Christmas, Wes. A celebration, we say, of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That in and of itself is a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
To celebrate the birth of our Savior. Yet our society has turned it into something quite different. You can't head down to the mall without being bombarded with all of this consumerism, marketization of the day, and the whole meaning of Christmas has been lost today. Even the notion of giving and getting has totally eclipsed what the true picture the Bible presents to us about the birth of Christ. We want to discuss that a little bit today. You know, we look at the materialism today, the whole notion of giving and getting. What do you think that has done to the true meaning of Christmas?
Well, I think, you know, the idea of giving gifts in and of itself, it's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a good thing. And it does connect with the true meaning of Christmas because the birth of Christ was a gift to humanity. It was a gift for God's people. And it was a good thing. And giving gifts can be a good and wonderful thing. However, what's happened in our culture today, both north and south of the border, my observation, is that it's been vandalized, and it's been polluted, and it's been stained. And two things I think have really stained it. And the first thing is our culture's emphasis on the self and obsession with self. It's all about me and what I can get. And you see that right away with children drawing up wish lists. You know, I want to have this, and I want to have this, and I want to have that, and so forth. That the culture, our culture says the world revolves around you. That's the new solar system, so to speak, right? And the second thing that has vandalized this concept, this good concept of gift giving in our culture, is narcissism, consumerism rather. We already talked about narcissism, but consumerism is the other thing, that the whole reason we exist in this world is to get things, to get stuff. And the more stuff you can get, the happier you will be. And guess what? There's always more stuff to get, so you'll never be happy. And I think that is what has really vandalized a proper celebration of Christ's birth.
Yeah, and Jesus said very plainly, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole principle is because he gave his life. And so, you know, celebrating this day is a beautiful thing, to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we want to provide that perspective to our children of what the true meaning is. Look at what God gave. He gave of his best. He gave of his only begotten son. And he didn't just give of him in a manger.
No, exactly.
This child grew, and this child laid down his life, becoming a man, laid down his life on the cross and resurrected. So we don't want to lose the whole picture through Christmas. I think this is the major issue here, is that we leave Jesus in the manger.
Exactly. And we forget about his perfect life of obedience to God's law, which he lived for us. We forget about his sufferings. We forget about the cross. You know, and when we get to Easter later on in the year, well, Christmas is at least, you know, people will still say that Christmas is about Christ. But when we get to Good Friday and we get to Easter, in the culture, the death and the suffering of Christ is totally gone. It's eclipsed, except perhaps in some churches. And, you know, to continue with the life of Christ, you know, he also rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, right? All of these other factors are forgotten by Christians at Christmas time and by the broader culture. And then one of the most important things of all is that Christmas is the celebration of his first coming. And we easily forget He's coming again.
I think that's an excellent point. You know, we love to leave Jesus in the manger. We love to see the halo over his head because he's a non-threatening Jesus at that point.
Right.
He's a Jesus that is helpless. He's a Jesus that to us is of no real offense. But we don't like getting to the Jesus who spoke very strongly about the wrath to come, about judgment to come, and about the salvation that is through him in coming to him with a believing heart. And so you see this picture, even in his birth, of these wise men, these kings coming to present their best to him. It was an act of worship. This was not just a baby in a manger. This was God incarnate. This was God who had took to himself human flesh.
Yeah, and that's amazing that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords set aside all his heavenly majesty, glory, power to come and dwell among us.
And yet that message couldn't be eclipsed, even in that of who he truly is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. We lose the humanity of Jesus a lot. You know, Docetism was an ancient heresy that discussed that Jesus only appeared to be a man. And so we don't recognize at Christmas time, too. We don't want to lose the opposite side of that, that Jesus was truly one of us. He took on our flesh. He was a child. He grew. He grew in wisdom and stature, as mm-hmm. the book of Luke says. And this is an amazing thing. Even Hebrews talks about him learning obedience.
Right. And I think what has contributed to that is a lot of the romantic images of the nativity, a lot of the songs that speak about it. For instance, we have a song that says, "No crying he makes," and so on. Folks, Jesus Christ, when he was born, when he came into this world, he was a real baby, which means that he cried. There's nothing sinful with crying. There is nothing wrong with that. You know, and I don't mean to be disrespectful or anything like that, but he was a real baby, which means, for instance, that he also soiled his diaper. And there's nothing sinful with that either. He was a real human being. And that is important to hold on to because it's our salvation that's at stake. If he was not one of us, he can't be our savior. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah, and what we're looking at here, we've discussed two things. We've discussed that we don't want to lose sight that he's truly divine by leaving him in the manger, and yet we don't want to also lose sight that he's truly human. We need both. And so the union of those two natures, human and divine, in the one person of our Lord Jesus Christ is a glorious doctrine, and that's what we celebrate with the virgin birth of our Lord, a crucial doctrine to believe as a Christian.
Yes, because, you know, if he was not true man, he could not have paid for our sins. We needed a true man to be on the cross. And that's why, again, when we come to the birth of Christ, when we celebrate Christmas, we cannot lose sight of the big picture of Christ's life. You know, that this was the one who was sent to die for our sins.
Okay, so we've discussed the whole picture, which is glorious. Remember that as you're celebrating this. This one born unto us in the city of David is true God and true man. And yet, what was the real story for Christ's birth? I think this is what gets lost often. We look at what would you expect? You know, years. God had prophesied, the Lord had prophesied throughout the whole Old Testament through his prophets that this Savior would come from Genesis 3:15 on, that this Savior would come, and everyone was looking for him. What would you expect when he arrived? Well, we would expect in the seat prepared for him in Jerusalem, on his throne. We would expect everyone running around saying the Messiah has come. And
he
yet,
was to be the royal son of David.
Yes, the
you
son of David.
You would expect him to be born into a palace.
Let me describe for you what happens when Christ was born. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king. Herod the king? That's an Edomite. That's a son of Esau. And listen to what happens. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And what's the picture? Verse 18, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children. It was a war for this child to be born. And not only that, the world and his own did not receive him.
Yeah, and the Romans, you mentioned Herod, but the Romans were the ones who were truly in power. Herod was more of a puppet king than anything else. It was the Romans who were in control. This is the least likely scenario you can imagine for the Messiah coming into the world. God surprised everyone.
You know, in Revelation chapter 12, we get this whole perspective from God's perspective. That was Matthew's perspective, of course, given under the inspiration of the Spirit, the earthly perspective. What did God view the Father, the birth of Christ, as? Listen to this for a minute. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. That is a whole heavenly perspective of the great warfare of the two kingdoms at war for the birth of this child. And then, of course, on a historical plane, what did Herod do? He tried to devour that child mm-hmm. as soon as it was born.
Yeah, the warfare between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent.
So, and then, of course, verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Isn't that amazing? Right from the birth all the way to the exaltation in God's perspective.
Yeah.
It's a whole event, a whole picture there of Christ's great work of redemption and then his session on the throne as the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which was very prophesied at his birth when the wise men laid their gifts at his feet.
The seed of the woman crushed the head of the serpent.
So remember that this as you come to celebrate this next week and the week after and Christmas, what the true meaning of the birth of Christ is. This was our Redeemer, the mediator that God had provided to save sinners from their sins, and it was a warfare for this child to be born, and yet the man-child prevailed and was born, and now he is our great Savior, saving us from all of our sins. Wes, tell us a little bit more about how you proclaim him at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Well, we have worship services on Sundays at 9:30 and 2 o'clock. We're in Langley on 52nd Avenue near the airport. If people want more information, they can go to our website, www.langleycanrc.org. You're also welcome to give me a phone call. My number is 604-220-7718. 604-220-7718. Look forward to hearing from you.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And for until another edition of Abounding Grace, may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
So much to learn from God's Word, and well, so little time. We thank you for joining us. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church of Linden. If you have questions or comments, maybe a prayer request, we'd love to dialogue with you and talk with you about what you've listened to here today on the broadcast. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, you can stop by our website, lindenurc.com. And we even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there available for you to listen to at your convenience. Again, lindenurc.com. And when you stop by, would you drop us an email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. And again, our phone number, 360-318-0429. If you're writing to us, it's Abounding Grace, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is our zip code. And as we close out our time together today, quick reminder, we are presented on this radio station daily, in part, through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us, prayerfully and financially, we're able to continue the ministry of Abounding Grace here on this station. Thank you for your prayerful support. And we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.